Our text today will be found in Micah. It'll be Micah chapter 7, verse 7. That's Micah chapter 7, verse 7. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank Thee, Lord, for this time that Thou hast given us as a people who have assembled in Thy name, O Lord. May You bring forth Thy truth this morning. May the crumbs fall from Thy table to the souls of Thy people. May You come with power, Lord. May You empty us of the creature willingness and the creature desires. All that lies in self, O Lord, may You put it down this day, that we may see the sufficiency of Thee, the power of Thee, the suitability of Thee, and all that You are for Thy children. O Lord, increase our faith this morning. May that faith be Thy faith, to bring us, Lord, to Thee, to apprehend what Thou hast done. Lord, may You come with power for Thy name's sake, for Thy glory alone. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Micah 7:7 says, Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Sometimes I struggle in my own self when I think of faith, when I think of the gift of faith. Sometimes in my weakness, and sometimes in my unbelief, instead of looking to Him, I'm looking for some kind of manifestation of something, or something in myself. Dear ones, that's not faith. The faith that is the gift of God is what we see in this passage this morning. I could have went to David in the Psalms. Could have went to Paul. Could have went to James. A lot of them, all of the people of God in the Word of God, speak of what the faith of the Son of God is. So for the prophet this morning, where the Lord took me here in 7:7, we see something. By the eyes of faith. We must have the same faith to see what Micah saw this morning. And the three things that are in this is like a cord, a threefold cord that's wrapped together that defines what faith is. Faith sees the Lord in resolve. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. That's the resolve of faith. It's the action of faith to say, I will look to the Lord. But we got to understand, and hopefully the Holy Spirit takes us in the depth of how the Lord does that in our soul. And it's out of necessity. It's no other way. We have to be brought to the end of ourself, as Micah was here. We're going to see that shortly. The dire time that he's writing in. And then we have, I will wait for the God of my salvation. The patience of faith. Faith and patience both are a fruit of the Spirit, are the working of the Spirit to bring forth the work of Christ in our soul. It's the power of the Lord to show it and to make us to lie down. The psalmist wasn't wrong when he said, Lord, make me to lie down in green pastures. Because even if the pastures are green, we're still like Martha. We're still cumbered with many things. We're still wandering around, looking and scurrying around to see what we can do, to see what we have to do. We must be made to lie down. That is the faith of patience. Or the patience of faith, whichever way you want to put it. And then the last part, my God will hear me. That's assurance. It's something we don't talk much about because as sheep in this life, we struggle with sin. We struggle with that corrupt nature that's in us. We struggle with Satan's darts. We struggle with the world pulling at us. And that's not something that comes out of us every day to say, oh, I'm assured that I'm one of God's children. But true faith, that song we just sang, without faith, you don't understand it. Oh, we can understand it doctrinally, that nothing but the blood of Christ will save us from our sins. But unless the gift of faith is given to apprehend, to lay hold, to embrace what Christ has done, you won't see it. The carnal eyes cannot see it. The world can sit there and say, oh, well, we might believe in this one or might believe. But as Jesus said, when the waves come and the winds come, what is your house built upon? If it's upon the sand, it's going to come crashing down. The sand is what is the logic of this world, what the world tells you to build your faith upon. Build it upon people, upon men, upon... So what does the Word of God say? And this morning, as the Lord led me to what He showed His prophet Micah, it's a very, very dire time. So I want to look at each one of these. I want to look at the faith of resolve, the faith of patience, and the faith of assurance. So we start in, therefore, I will look unto the Lord. And you think, boy, if we just came there and we ignored the rest of this passage, we sit there and we say, oh, well, it must be a prosperous time for him. Because that's what easy believism tells us, that all we have to do is just believe. Just, oh, God, you're there. Let's look at what happened in Micah. Let's look at the beginning of the chapter. It begins, woe is me. Right there, we're told that the soul is brought down very low. Woe is me, for I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits, as the grape gleanings of the vintage. There is no cluster to eat. My soul desired the first ripe fruit. You see the wilderness that he's been brought into? Do you see the destitution? Do you see the desperation? Listen to what he has to say. The good man is perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They all lie and wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net. What is revealed to Micah is the hypocrisy of man, the inability to, or the desire not to trust in man. What does the trust of man leave you with? That they may do evil with both hands earnestly. The prince asketh and the judge asketh for a reward. Listen to how corrupt the time is that Micah's speaking of. I liken it to the time, it's been a very tough week to hear even in this nation, the two that God has ordained to run in this country, and what we hear that comes out of who these people are, it would make any child of God shake in his shoes. Where is the godly man? Where is the one that fears God? And all we see is corruption. And the great man, he uttereth his mischievous desire, so they wrap it up. The best of them is as a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn at hedge. The day of the watchman and thy visitation cometh. Now shall be their perplexity. Oh, the Lord will come. Listen to what he says. Trust ye not in a friend. A friend? We call many people in this life friends, don't we? Much more probably for you younger people than us older people. Through life, I know I can speak for myself, the Lord has greatly diminished friends in my life. They can't walk with me anymore. We used to walk in the carnality of this world. We used to find great comfort in the things of this world. But as the Lord has weaned me from those things and turned me from them, they don't walk with me anymore. Trust ye not in a friend, Put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. Dear ones, that's what I hope you see today, that our enemies lie so close to us. Ecclesiastes and Solomon wrote that the world is put in our heart, that we not trust in the world. There's something greater in us, and that's Christ in us, that exalts Himself over the power of the world, over the power of the flesh, over the power of Satan. That's the testimony of the saints. That is the faith of the Son of God that He gives. And as I said, sometimes when I walk down from preaching a message, sometimes I think, when I look and I hear people talk afterwards, and I hear, sometimes I think we think of faith as being some kind of, that God potentially will give it. Oh, if He just gives me faith. Oh, if I could just have faith. Or we start to listen to the world and what faith is. Oh, if you just believe and hope in the situation. If you see where Micah is led in all three of these threads, all three of them lead to God. That's what faith leads to. It leads to Christ, what He's done. It leads to the great triune Lord. It does not lead to the enemies of God. It does not lead to self. It does not lead to the world. Faith credits what Christ has done. And that's what we see this dire time. Listen to verse 6 and tell me if this don't sound familiar to you. For the son dishonoreth the father. The daughter rises up against her mother. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies are the men of his own house. That is the necessity, the direness of the situation where the Lord gives faith to Micah. In the midst of being what Paul called in 2 Corinthians, being pressed out of measure. Even where he despaired, even of life, he said. That's when faith is given. When we're pressed out of self. Micah, as he looks around, he sees no men. No one. Not the priests. Not the religious people. Not all the people around. He can't trust in anyone. And then it gets more intimate. His own friends, his own family, he can't trust any of them. Why? What is the Lord's purpose in all of this? Faith leads to Christ. Now, I wanted to show you, I wanted to take you to Matthew chapter 10 real quick. Because I said, hopefully those words sounded familiar to you, because our Lord said them in Matthew 10. And we'll start right in 34. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. This is our shepherd speaking. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Do you see that today in your life? That's my desire today, and I hope the power of the Holy Ghost, it's His desire to show us what faith has the Lord given us. Is it this act of faith that leads to Christ? As we have these situations, and I call them situations, but what they are is God's providential care for His children as He brings them into each individual child of God's life. The faith to escape is in Christ, by Christ, and leads to Christ. I think for us, for people, for even the church, we look when we get into dire circumstances and immediately we try to fix them. We try to do something to alleviate us of the burden that it puts on us. But for the people of God, they will be pressed down out of measure. They will be pressed to the end of themselves. it's not what the world, religious world, tells you, that it's easy to believe in Christ. I hope my wife doesn't mind me sharing this, but she and I were talking this morning. She woke up very troubled this morning in her soul. And as she started to explain to me what was troubling her, she looked at me just as calm and said, "I know that I'm supposed to trust Him, but I can't." And that is the voice and cry of a child of God. "I can't find it within myself to trust You, Lord. I must have a power greater than what I have to trust in You, to cast my life upon You, my belief upon You. Lord, help my unbelief." Oh, I believe. I believe that the Scriptures are true. I believe that what You said, Lord, is true. But I need You, Lord. I need Your power to come powerfully to my soul, to lift me out of myself. That's what Micah needed. Woe is me. But when faith is given, that's when we come to our text. Let's go on what Jesus said. "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household." But why, Lord? "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me." Faith leads to the worthiness of Christ. Do you see that? Do you see how the Lord brings these things in your life to bring you to Him for the sufficiency that's in Him? "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." The Lord knows the desires of our heart. But what if those desires are inordinate? What if they put something or someone over the Lord Jesus Christ? The Lord says, "I come to set a variance. My people will trust in me. My people will be led by me." When the Lord gives faith, and it comes in these dark days of our soul, it causes the child of God never to be great in himself. A lot of religious people I talk to are champions of self. When you hear them talk, "Oh, I just believe. I'm just more than a conqueror. I'm this, I'm that." And if you truly are that in your life, you're going to have a horrible ending to your life, because you won't be able to save yourself. As all of the people of God are brought to see, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." Do you keep seeing where the Lord points, where life is? It's in Him. Worthy of me. Worthy of me. Why do I set variance? To bring you to me. That's what faith does. "He that findeth his life shall lose it." He, the person, you seek your life, you shall lose it in Christ. Look at this. "And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." So we have the Lord taking the same position, looking at what Micah went through, saying the same things, and said, "Listen, this is what I've done. This is how I bring my children to me. And look, I want you to focus on the intimacy of it." I mean, this isn't in situations or things in this life that we rely on. These are things that we call most precious to us. Those intimate relationships. So in this heading, "Therefore I will look unto the Lord," we see that. I hope you see it. I hope you wonder, just like I do, how does Micah get from "woe is me" in all of that? "I can trust no man. The Lord has put a variance in my life against any of those in my intimate circle, my friends, my family. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. The situation is dire. You know, Peter said, "Lord, where else can we go? You have the words of eternal life." Just, if you're back in Micah with me, turn over just a little bit to Habakkuk, the end of Habakkuk, the prophet. I've read this many times to hopefully bring forth the desperation. His prophets were brought to a lot of desperation. They saw Christ. They desired to have Him. They knew that He was coming. But listen to how dire the situation is. Look at the end of Habakkuk, chapter 3. Look at 17. "Although the fig tree shall not blossom." Now there's destitution here in this verse. Desolation, wilderness. No food, no fruit, no nothing. "Neither shall fruit be in the vines. The labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls." Dire, dire time. "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord." Joy, another fruit of the Spirit. "I will joy in the God of my salvation." His hope is in Christ. That's the power of faith, to come and say, "Don't look at the situation. It is what it is. But I reign over it. It is for your good. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and He will make me to walk upon my high places." That's what the Lord does. He brings us away from self, and faith credits and shows us what the Lord is doing. Not us. He takes it away from the person, the creature, and lays our eyes upon the Lord. John 3, verses 14 and 15 says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him." We just look at, oh, if you just believe in Him. That's union. That's the eternal, vital union. That's what the people of God have in Christ. "For whosoever believeth in Him." Faith is in Christ. It's found in Christ. And we, as the people of God, are found in Christ. "Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." Read that and I said, wow, maybe it would be beneficial to go see that passage in Numbers. Turn with me over to Numbers now. I know we've been turning a lot. We're about to be finished turning, but Numbers 21, where the Lord sent the serpents, is very instructive. If the Lord is pleased to instruct us here in this hour. In Numbers 21, we begin in verse 4, but I want to direct your attention to 1 through 3. The Lord just delivered them in Israel again. "They have enemies come. The Lord hearkened to their voice," in 3, "and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities." This is a time of prosperity. The Lord just came and delivered them from their enemies. Now look at verse 4. "And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way." Does that sound like you? Do we get discouraged in this life because of the way? The way that God has brought us through this life? The journey that He has put forth for us to live? Each one of us an individual journey? They were discouraged because of the way. "And the people spoke against God." You know what that's called? That's called murmuring. That's called complaining. "And against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness?" To die, the Lord just delivered them again. If he wanted them to die, they'd be dead. But you can't get there. You can't get to faith on your own. They couldn't just say, oh, we're going to believe. As you see, it's a great picture of our need for the Lord to come to our souls. For there is no bread, neither is there any water. And our soul loatheth this light bread. They loathe the manna. They loathe the bread that came down out of heaven that was a picture of the Messiah. They loathe the water that was a picture of the Holy Ghost. They loathed it. They're tired of it. That is what the burden of life that comes into the child of God's life when faith is not present. It's a burdensome time, a time of desolation. It's that time that Micah's writing about. It's a time of great despair. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. And they bit the people. And much people of Israel died. Now notice that. The death came first. My question to you this morning is, have you been bitten? Have you been bitten by the fiery serpent? Have you been bitten by sin? Have you been bitten by that corrupt nature that lies within you? Have you been bitten by the world and its allurements? Have you been bitten by Satan's temptations and bitten by his fiery darts and bitten by all of the thoughts that are introduced into your mind? Have you been bitten? Because if you haven't, you won't understand this. You won't understand anything today. If you haven't been bitten by sin and have tasted of what the fall really plunged you into, what you've lost, that communion's been broken. Someone has to restore that for me to have communion with God again. I can't do it. I won't do it. I won't look upon the Lord. These people are bitten and much died. Therefore the people, they came to Moses and said, Moses is a picture of our mediator here. Moses is the type of Christ. Moses is the one that stands between God and the people. He's the mediator. And they come to Moses and said, we have sinned. And where is the child of God instructed to come to Christ? And that's what he brings it. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And they come with a confession upon their lips, Lord, I've sinned against thee and thee alone. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord. Now he's the intercessor. We know only you can go before the Lord on our behalf. That's what Christ is, the forerunner. That's what Christ did when he went in and ripped the veil. He went first. We have access through Him and Him alone, that He take away the serpents from us. And Moses interceded. He prayed for the people. And what was the Lord's answer? The Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent. Well, isn't that the very thing that's out there biting them? Absolutely. One had to be lifted up and had to be made sin. The very thing that bites us. He had to be made sin. It's a beautiful picture of Christ on the cross. And none of those people that are running out there bitten could do anything. They could do nothing toward their salvation. But the intercessor, the mediator, the perfect sacrifice. Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. You see the necessity? Do you see how the Lord used the necessity in that passage to bring his children out of themselves? That's a picture of how he does it in the children of God's life. He must be lifted up. John 12, 32 tells us, "And I," Jesus' words, "if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Every man that is saved by the being bitten by the serpent will be saved by Christ and Christ alone. And they'll be saved from that venom, and they'll be saved from that definite death. I thought about that today. This week I had to go have a venom test for an allergy that the Lord has sent into my life. And I had to put venom inside of me. And I thought about that passage. The Lord took me to that passage. And I thought about that yesterday when I got bitten, when I got stung. And I thought about that. I said, wow. You know, the Lord gave me a calm demeanor, sat me down. And I knew in those times, the Lord brings you to say, Lord, you must do it. I know I've heard all the what could happen. I've heard what will happen. I heard what can happen. I just need to know, Lord, what your will is. What is your will? Yeah, therefore I will look unto the Lord. That looking comes out of necessity. It comes out of being pressed out of yourself in whatever situation the Lord has brought into your life. Hebrews 12:2 tells us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I love that verse because it tells me where it begins. Faith begins in Christ. Faith all the way through my life is in Christ, and Christ is the end of my life. It's all of Him. It's the faith He gives His children to venture upon Him as our only remedy. Not the situation, not to try to fix things according to our logic of how we see a situation. There's no wisdom but in Christ. And that's what he said, therefore I will look unto the Lord. But did Micah know the Lord? You say, that's a funny question. Had he ever seen the Lord? Well, just turn back to me, with me to chapter 5 real quick. Look at chapter 5, we'll begin in verse 2. Look at the vision that the Lord gave Micah. The understanding of who Christ is. Verse 2 says, "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, thou, though be little among thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting." What was just revealed to Micah? The eternality of the Son of God. From old. That the Lord, before the foundation of the world, set all of everything for the child of God. Everything is stored in Christ, in the Redeemer, in the Messiah. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. And he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord. Stand where? On the earth. The Lord revealed the divinity of Christ to Micah, but he also revealed the humanity of Christ. That he would come, that he would suffer, that he would be tempted, that he would suffer along so that you and I today could be succored by him who has went first through everything in this life. If you ever have that time and the Lord draws you to the temptations of Christ, those are very deep. How Satan came and used each one of the, tailored each one of those temptations. And in all of those temptations, the children of God go through in this life. And the Lord went through them first. And He showed us the way. It's in Him. One who knew no sin. And just when you hear that, you know then the victory must be somewhere there is no sin. You and I who are sinful creatures cannot combat temptations. We cannot combat sin. We cannot. It has to be one who's greater than that sin. Stronger than the strong man to cast them out. And that is the Lord. This man shall be the peace when the Assyrians shall come into our land. Peace. The Lord revealed to Micah His divinity, His humanity, what the Lord is for His people here. That's who He's crying out to here. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord who has finished all things for me. David said the same thing. Hezekiah was brought to say the same thing. Lord, undertake for me. The Apostle Paul, Peter, the children of God, when pressed out of measure, meaning there's nothing that we have to be shown that in all that we do, we're still unprofitable servants. Because the Lord is our need. The Lord is the answer. The Lord is the remedy for that venom that we've been bitten by. He is the antidote. And what the Lord does is when He reveals Himself lifted up, everything else below, the serpents that are biting, the situations in it, become vanity to the child of God. There's no comparison. When the Lord is lifted up, Isaiah said it this way. Isaiah 45:22 says, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else." That's what the Lord comes and teaches His children and brings us. That's the power of faith to say, "There's none else, Lord. Where else will we go? You have the words of eternal life. Lord, whatever answer is there in this life? Is it in fellow man?" Micah says, "No, the Lord showed me it's not. And it's not even in the ones who love me around me. It's not. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ in my personal relationship with Him." That's what the Lord reveals to each one of His children. But as we said in this text, This faith that we just saw the resolve of it. But now we see the patience of this faith. "Therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait." And notice those "I wills." You know, the child of God, speaking to one this week, cried out to me in a certain time and said, "I don't even know if I am the Lord's child." That's the plight we have. Because when we look at the sin, when the Holy Spirit comes and shows us the wickedness of sin, the evilness of sin, and how it's engulfed us, and the thoughts that come into our mind, as I said a couple weeks ago, the Holy Spirit reveals to us that we are the chiefest of sinners. And until that faith is given to say that my blood covers those sins, we are left to cry out to the Lord and to look in ourselves and say, "There's no way I could be your child. There's no way. Look at all this I do against your holiness, against what your finished works, against what you've said you've done. I scurry around. I do all these things, Lord, in unbelief. I will wait for the God of my salvation. This is the patience and the fruit of the Spirit that the Lord gives His children to sit, to be made to lie down. As I mentioned earlier in this sermon, that is so precious to me in that song. Or make me to lie down. And every time I hear that, the Holy Spirit says that, you're the man there. You need to be made to lie down. And it's so true. Cumbered about many things in this life. I told you, this week, watching what's in the political scene, watching everything that, and hearing everything that comes out of that, and listening to, listening and watching Christians, quote unquote, being persecuted in this world, and anyone who stands up to say anything godly is put down and laughed into ridicule and said it's not right to say these things. For me, myself, it's been an extra heavy week because in teaching the children in Galatians, sometimes the Lord really puts me into the same situation. Paul was there. I felt the grief that he preached against the mixture of the gospel and the law and the gospel and what Christ has finished and what man does. And it is very grievous. Very grievous. Grievous to my soul. Grievous to hear it in conversation. Grievous to see it in life. That we indeed don't sit and wait upon the Lord. And I say, Lord, why? We know the doctrine. We know, Lord. We know we're supposed to trust You. But until He comes, that's the patience. And you know what patience is? You know what patience destroys? Self. Self-reliance. Because if truly He makes you to wait on Him, you're not looking to yourself. The self is being put down. Self is being put further and further and further down. Until we're sitting at His feet for the one thing needful. That's what faith does. Faith leads to what Christ has done. I've said it 100 times. I'll say it 100 more. Because it is essential truth for the people of God to know that there's no faith in this world. There's no faith that the enemies of Christ, the world is at enmity with our Lord. Don't ever think that the world or Satan or your flesh can give you faith. And if they can, it's a false faith. And if you're God's child, you will be brought to be pressed out of measure until the faith of the Son of God. And that's not a potential. That's a promise. That's what the Word said. I am the author and finisher of your faith. And Paul said it. Yeah, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Did we see Paul live? Did we see the Lord take Paul from one place to another to write these letters? Did we see that? He lived. How did he live? In his strength? In what the Gamaliel taught him? And what the law said to do, he lived by the faith of the Son of God. James 1:3 says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. The Lord tries the faith of His own giving to bring forth His own patience. Revelation 14:12 says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. You ever read that? It's the faith of Jesus. It's the faith of the Son of God that He floods the soul. Or, hey, listen, it could be just a little faith because that too moves mountains. And we have plenty of mountains of doubt. We have plenty of mountains of unbelief. The Lord must remove them by exalting Himself. But I don't want to move away from this section until you see the very last part of it. I will wait for the God of my salvation. how personal that is? You see how he's brought to see that the Lord is his salvation? And as I said, there's times in this life that we can't claim that. We'll never be able to claim that in and of ourselves. The religious world, yes, they can. Because they don't know. They don't know the depth of what the Lord brings His children to see and to have them depend upon Him. But for the child of God, there is a time. That is the power of faith to reveal to you that you are His child. He doesn't leave you there doubting. He doesn't leave you as an orphan. I will come to you. That's the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ for His children. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. That's assurance. And assurance is a blessed, blessed gift to the child of God. As I've touched on many times up here today, it seems to be in this life there's not a lot of assurance. But when there is, it's enough. Faith is enough to carry the child of God for days. That's the power that's in the Lord's faith. That's how I know it's His and not mine. My faith doesn't take me far. It takes me to the next trial. It may not even take me to the next one. It may take me to the same one in my unbelief again. But my God will hear me. How great is that assurance? And as I said at the beginning, it's not an easy believism that many pulpits are espousing today. People are standing in front of others and going, just believe out there. That's all you have to do. Walk out of this door today and just believe. And all your problems will go away. And if you give this and you give that, it all starts with the creature. Well, dear ones, if He doesn't start with us, there'll be nothing. We love Him because He first loved us. We believe in Him because of the gift of faith. We have joy because of the gift of joy. We have patience because He gives patience. Everything is stored in our Joseph, who opens the storehouses to the souls of His children in His appointed time to give that which is needed. And He is faithful to do it. Matthew 5:6 says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. 1 Thessalonians 1:5 says, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. The Lord brings much assurance to the child of God. That's what the gospel does. You're not going to find that assurance in the world. And if you do, it's not the assurance of Christ. Isaiah 32:17 says, and the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness quietness and assurance forever. That's the effect of the Lord's righteousness in the souls of His children. That's the power of the Lord to bring us to see that He will hear us. The Lord is a great answer to prayer, but even greater than that, He's a great author of prayer. The Holy Spirit that He has put inside of His children to testify of Christ makes utterances for the people of God that they know not of. We don't even know what to pray for. We see a situation, we think we know. The Lord knows. Oh Lord, bring us to Thy feet to show us, Lord, this threefold cord of faith today. The faith of resolve, the faith of patience, the faith of assurance. I want to read a couple more verses that come after this one. Our text, therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Verse 8, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. There's the faith again. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. Notice that. There's no easy life here for Micah. He says, I know darkness will come, but the Lord is my light. I know that I will fall, but the Lord shall make me to rise. The Lord will rise up with healing in His wings. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against Him until He plead my cause and execute judgment for me. He will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold His righteousness. That's what faith does. It brings you to the Lord to behold His righteousness, His light. Then jump with me to verse 18 as we finish this morning. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of His heritage? He retaineth not His anger forever, because He delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. And Thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob, and the mercy to Abraham, which Thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. So thankful that He is the Lord who changes not. That our Lord Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the Lord that performed it for His people then will perform it for His people now. He is faith. He is the author and the finisher. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear. Dear Heavenly Father, may You add Thy power and strength and clarity. And may You come, Lord, to Thy children to feed us in this hour and the hour to come. For Thy name's sake, in Jesus' name, Lord.